Oh, hi, everybody. My name is Matt Storrs, and welcome to Mattsplaining. On today's episode, we have an expert on who I'm very excited to talk to. Expert, please introduce yourself and tell us what you're an expert in.
Hey, my name is Max Fine. I'm a comic in New York, and I like to think I'm somewhat of an expert on the band Phish.
Absolutely. I've heard of Phish before. When did you first start listening to Phish?
So this is the thing. I got into them last year accidentally. Really is what happened. I went to a show with a friend, sight unseen, had a horrible time, but really fell in love with the band. I think that their music is just so special. And I know that everybody's got an opinion on them, and usually it's shitty, but I love these guys. I think what they do is so special. I think their music is so important. And I know that I sound like a lunatic saying this, but everything they do is different. They never do the same thing twice. And I think that's so unique and special. And no other band that I've ever seen does this.
Yeah, I'm pretty well versed in my history with Phish. I got into them when I was much, much younger. I really liked the song Fee and Contact and some of the stuff off of their studio albums. But a lot of people don't know this, but there was something of a battle, a conflict when Phish first came to prominence because there was this void where the Grateful Dead were in terms of the traveling jam bands. And there was the Battle of the Three Princes, as it was called. It's three bands that started with P. So it was Phish, Widespread Panic, and Primus, each one of them trying to carve out a niche of this subset of these Grateful Dead fans and just trying to pull as many of them in to try and sustain a traveling schedule and effective music conglomerate, if you will. And obviously Phish has risen to the top, the cream as rises to the top. And there's a lot of history when it comes to the band. There's four prime members and everything like that. And I think the one member that people focus a lot on is Trey Anastasio. He's not just focused on the music in the band. He also has been nominated for a Tony Award. So Hands on a Hard Body, the musical that ran for 2 months about people that kept their hands on a truck to try and win it. That was really well received, despite the fact that maybe not the best idea for a musical. Maybe some other stage adaptation would have been more appropriate. But ultimately, that was a tax dodging scheme to pay for some of the set design that they were subsequently going to use at Phish shows going forward. So they, even if that musical was not a success, so to speak, they have the scaffolding that they need. They have,
of course,
the costuming and the beach volleyballs and the signs to hand out to the fans and concessions that next 2 years after that musical, the concessions at all of their concerts were reduced by 30%, which was really helpful for a lot of fans and to bring people in. And they're famous for their live albums. Everybody has just like an amazing experience at the live shows. And people often forget about those studio albums that they've put out. And I think that part of the reason for that is that you have the dynamic is lost in the studio. Basically, they're famous for all of the solos and people going off kind of like jazz and off on tangents and like people wrapping around having that musical improv sort of style and taking the concept of a song and building off of it and adapting it and everything like that. And the way in which they get to that point is when they rehearse, they literally just have one day where it's Trey Anastasio. He's just going to play around and everybody's just going to watch him all day and give him notes. And then somebody else is going to do it. And nobody's playing with one another. It's just, hey, play whatever you want. And we figure it out. And then they just try and analyze it as best they can. And when you get in with a band like that and try and be like, okay, let's constrain you to a studio album, you really lose a lot of the juice, so to speak. It's, you like, for instance, you're making orange juice, you squeeze an orange and like, you're going to get the juice out of the orange. And if you filter it, you're going to get rid of some of the pulp, but you're not going to get that kind of the essential oils that really make that orange something special. And I think that that's what happens with the studio albums. You miss and lose those oils. Also, very famously, the band has a line of essential oils that you can pick up at most of their shows. Sometimes people will be selling it out of their trucks in the tailgates, but you can rest assured that most of those tinctures that you find for sale from those individuals, even though they might be listed as being sold by that person individual, they are made and mass produced by the band. Now, based on what you've heard so far, about how much of that would you say was accurate?
I mean, you're not as far off as I think you are, Matt.
Okay.
I can't tell how much you looked up and how much you just know, because you're not that far off. Starting off with the Battle of the Three Peas, do you know that Les Claypool from Primus and Trey Anastasio have their own band together?
I did not know that.
Yeah, dude. So they have a band with Stuart Copeland from The Police, the drummer, and it's called Oysterhead. Because you're not that far off. All the jam bands fill in the Grateful Dead void. They absolutely kind of knew that they existed and had to play with each other. I don't know. I don't like other jam bands. That's kind of something I found out about myself. I only like Phish. I don't love The Dead. I don't love Panic. I don't love Billy Strings and Goose, all the other bands. I really just like Phish, and I think it's because I've gone to their shows. Have you seen them live?
I have not, no.
Okay, so the studio albums are just there to be there. That's really not what you go for. It's not what you listen for. Every one of their concerts since 2003 is online and available to listen to. And most of their songs, like the definitive version, will be a live show. So I wouldn't be shocked if they were watching each other play in complete silence when they rehearsed. It really wouldn't surprise me. They're all nerds. They're all freaks of nature. And they're all like former engineers. And they're all just math nerds that probably do watch each other play and break everything down into numbers.
A lot of spreadsheets. Yeah.
I'm sure they do. I think that this is probably the most technical band other than Tool. I think these are the nerdiest guys. They all went to school for engineering and then decided to play music instead. And I think that's the coolest thing.
Absolutely. What is the experience at the live show, if you can articulate? Okay, so it's
I don't know. I mean, I've seen them. The first time I saw them, I had to leave after like 20 minutes because like I just couldn't handle the half tab of acid I took. It really made me feel like an old man. I used to be able to do a lot of fun shit, and now I just couldn't. I can't. But then, basically what happened this summer was I had a breakup, and I said, the only way I'm going to deal with this is I'm going to see Phish 7 nights in a row. And that's exactly what I did. And the drugs that you do, mostly it's just people smoking pot, which is more than enough. It's super fun because the live experience is so unique. You're watching them play something that they haven't played before and they won't play again. It's just a one-time thing. It's like that scene in Garden State when Natalie Portman's like, you do a sound. Nobody else has done that before. That's kind of what Phish does. Their songs are so like unique to the moment they're playing in. And it's special because you're just around all these other people that want to be there for the same reason that you are, which is just a fucking rock, dude. We just want to chill. We just want to hang. We want to have a good time. Listen to crunchy jams, dude. You know what I mean?
Not a lot of like networking at a Phish concert then.
Kind of not like in a business sense, but like, so I went and saw them in Philly earlier this year. And then at MSG last month, I was like, oh shit, I remember you guys. It's like people do travel from all over. I think that we're kind of spoiled living in New York where it's like, oh, this is in my backyard. I can just go see them. But for so many people, it's like this is their lives where they just travel and follow the band because they're always doing something different. And I think that Phish is really good about like really generating FOMO, where it's like, oh shit, I didn't see them play Carini and they opened with Carini on Thursday. Fuck, that's a different thing than they usually open with. Anytime Phish plays a song, you can guarantee there will be two of the sweatiest dudes in the world that smell like piss giving each other a high five at some point because they played But You Enjoy Myself. And God damn, is that an experience.
It sounds very much like it's the third space for a lot of people. Like, it is the place where, instead of the library or the coffee shop or anything like that, it's, oh, we go from work, we have our house, and then we go to the Phish concert. And that's where you see your friends. That's where you see your community.
And that's where, like, nobody's going to judge you if you forgot to shower. If you forgot to apply your essential oils before walking in to smell a little bit better, or
always have essential oils on hand for you in case you do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I from what I understand, they're also big proponents, to go back to the orange analogy, of there's a lot of orange peels and other citrus peels just available for you to wring out the oils and, like, rub it behind your ears and on your wrists just to get that kind of citrusy smell. So sometimes there'll be like a very, very pungent odor in the air that's very citrusy at these concerts. And it's usually just because so many people are chowing down on their citrus fruits.
Totally. And the other thing is, you're at a Phish concert, someone's going to have a bad time and go to the medical tent. You're going to smell the oranges from the medical tent also. So basically, when you see Phish, you really just see, smell, and hear orange. That's it.
And possibly taste. You're getting a sensory experience. It's hitting all the senses, so to speak.
I think that essential oil, like, in all honesty, may be the only merch they don't sell. They sell everything you could possibly imagine, from like beach tote bags to t-shirts to anything, cups, bottle openers, underwear, everything they have. It's like, it's crazy that they don't have essential oils for real.
Yeah, I mean, that could be, not to make it into a business proposition, but that could be, next time you go to one of the concerts, be like, hey, how do I get their ear to get in the essential oil game?
Yeah, I'm trying to smell like shit. I mean, like, it wouldn't surprise me if they tried it in the past. Mm-hmm. I feel like they do some weird merch shit where it's like, oh yeah, they definitely had a line of essential oils that probably broke at a few concerts, and they were, I would assume there were some MSG employees that were like, we're done with the oils.
Right. Yeah. That is the danger of that. There's one thing. If a crate of underwear falls is one thing, but if a crate of essential oils falls at Madison Square Garden, it's going to smell like eucalyptus for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. People are going to lose their jobs.
Right. And you just can't have that. And that might not be the
right vibe for the next event that at that venue. I can see that being kind of a risk for people that haven't seen Phish live or that are considering going. Or do you have any tips or ideas that would improve that experience for them?
Yeah, I mean, do it the way I did it, I think, which is just go in with an open mind. I mean, it's so easy. I hated the Phish kids in high school. Like, everybody that listened to Phish, they were all fucking, they were freaks. They were wearing Birkenstocks and tie-dye. And I was like, oh, I don't want any part of this. But I went in to see them with like an open mind, like, all right, this might be something I really enjoy. And if you go in without judgment, they're the best band, dude. They're like top tier fucking world star status. There's no other four dudes that play music together as well as these guys do. And if you appreciate music, or you just want to like have a good time and not be judged, like, Phish concerts are the place to be. You can look like whatever. You can smell like whatever. You can know the songs. You don't have to. No one's going to judge you at a Phish concert.
That's great. And so how long are the concerts usually?
Good question. So they usually do two sets and an encore. Mm-hmm. Usually each set is like an hour 20, hour 30, and then they do a 30-minute like set break. Mm-hmm. And then they come back, and an encore can be anywhere from 5 minutes to 25 minutes to an hour, whatever. So you're averaging like 3 hours a show, which isn't enough Phish, baby. You got to see them as much as you can.
Well, that makes sense to want to go 7 days in a row, 3 hours each of those days. That's a good chunk of your week that is Phish related.
Totally. Well, it was over the course of 2 weeks. And
okay.
Yeah, so I definitely burned myself out pretty intensely.
Did you burn yourself out like from a physical standpoint, or like Phish appreciation? Did you still enjoy it by everything. The end of it? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I never stopped enjoying it. I spent so much money where it was at the point where, like, in the middle of every show, I would have a panic attack over how much money I'm spending. Because you gotta buy the merch. They've got so much merch.
That is always the danger. The way in which I kind of think of it is once you're in, if you have a Facebook ad or an Instagram ad, and it's like, oh, I'm interested in that shirt. That was really well targeted. But then once you buy that shirt and then you see like five other things from that company and being so exposed to something where it's like you're not only connected to the experience of being there, but enjoying the music, enjoying the community. Basically, what I'm saying is if they could do targeted ads at Phish concerts, I feel like they could sell anything to you.
Well, they kind of already do. And it's okay. I think that this is really cool and really special. All of their merch is show specific or tour specific. So like I have a t-shirt that is, it's just for seven nights at Madison Square Garden. But then the week before they were in Philly, they had Philly t-shirts. They do posters. That's like a big part of their merch is they do limited edition posters. Mm-hmm. And so what they did was the first two nights or the first weekend they were at MSG, they had two prints. Those sold out. The next week they had more prints that were just exclusive to that week. So they really just know how to drive your FOMO and how to be like, fuck, I need to be at every show so I can show that I'm a real fan to whoever comes into my living room.
Absolutely. And do you have like some sort of display or like a shrine?
Maybe that's a little too much, but like a section of your place that is like devoted to Phish?
Of course I do, Matt. I have the wall behind my TV. I've got posters from Philly. I've got posters from MSG. I'm wearing a Phish hat right now as we speak. I should be wearing a t-shirt if I'm being honest. I mostly have Phish t-shirts.
That's great. That's absolutely fantastic. Max, this has been so insightful. And I feel like, I don't know when Phish is coming back around this way.
December 28th through 31st. They just announced it. You got to go. Come with me. It's going to be so fun.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be in town. I'm very
inclined to do that. That sounds like something I would really enjoy.
It's the best, dude. And you can't have a bad time. It's really so much fun.
Fantastic. Well, Max, I really appreciate it. If people wanted to learn more about you or if they wanted to learn more about Phish, where would you recommend they go?
So if you want to learn about Phish, phish.net is the place to be. It's a fan-run site. You get the history of the band. They've been playing together for 40 years. You get all kinds of information, how many times songs have been played, when the last time they were played. It's cool. But if you want to find my stuff, it's maxfine_ on all the social media stuff, Instagram and Twitter. And then I have an album coming out on October 13th called I Like His Style that I'm very excited about.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, that album is so, so good. I'm really hoping a lot of people pick it up because everything I've heard has been just absolutely perfect from it.
Oh, thanks, dude. I'm stoked about it. Thank you for coming to the show. I know you were there. You met my mom, I think.
I believe I did briefly, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was a delight. And it's always fun to get out and support people when they're doing something special. So it was my pleasure.
Oh, thanks, man.
Absolutely. Well, Max, this has been an absolute delight. And I hope you have an absolutely fantastic rest of your day.
You too, Matt. Thanks, man.
Absolutely. My name is Matt Storrs, and this has been Matt's Planning.
Quick shout out to Ryan Lawson, who made the theme music for Mattsplaining. He's part of Beat Blender Studios, which can be found at Beat Blender Studios on Instagram and TikTok. Or if you're in the market for some amazing music, you can contact him directly at beatblenderstudios@gmail.com.